It's time for the Big Three, brought to you by the Metal Store. Discover why the Metal Store has become the name to know for premier manufacturer of quality metal roofing. The Metal Store is your one-stop shop for all your metal roofing and metal buildings.
This could be their year. The things were clicking. James. Oh, impossible angle! LeBron James can do no wrong.
We want to continue to improve, and I think we've done that from the seven-game series versus Indiana to these four games against Toronto. So we want to continue to improve going into the next round, whoever we decide, whoever comes out of the other side between Boston and Philadelphia. And if we do that, we give ourselves a good chance. Oh, we're about to get some rest. Oh, I'm definitely about to get some rest. We probably won't play it probably until this weekend, so I'm going to get a lot of rest.
Brooms out in Cleveland as the Lebronto Raptors. They go down in a sweep, third straight playoff series. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers have owned them. Dusty Dvorak today, no Mark Rogers. The Missile is back in studio. Missile, what's going on, sir?
Oh, not too much, man. Ready to talk some sports. Dude, LeBron is just clowning Toronto. I don't think I've seen any one athlete clown a city like that ever.
I mean, they're changing the name from Toronto to LeBronto. I mean, I think it's perfect.
It fits.
I mean, the dude
well.
Owns him. I mean, he does. He's got. I mean, it's not. It's mentally. It's physically. It's in any possible way you can fathom. LeBron James. He owns the Raptors.
Is it,
you know,
10 straight playoff games they've won against them?
10 straight, 7 in a row in Cleveland.
That's crazy.
I talked about this with Craig. That game one, when they lost game one, Toronto at home, and they let, you know, they never trailed in regulation, but they found a way to lose. That was ball game, game set match in this series.
Oh, that was it. There was no doubt. Game three, they had a shot at. They came from behind. Like, hey, maybe this is the thing that turns the series, and LeBron just ripped their hearts out with a shot off the backboard from the side.
Which, by the way, you know. I can't believe I saw yesterday Skip Bayless tried to say that that was luck. That dude knew exactly what he was doing. Missile?
Oh,
he was calculated.
He was going right off the backboard. I mean, he knew it, right?
He got right to his spot.
He was jumping in the air. He slowed down enough to where he was just going to fire it right off the backboard. I mean, you can tell. Yeah, you can tell when the athletes are trying to bank it. Because, yeah. I mean, because he's under control. It's not like he was just firing something up there and it went in.
No, I'm with you. Last night wasn't a surprise. I guess the fact that Toronto straight up quit and it was a 35-point blowout, that was surprising, but never had any question that Cleveland was going to close this thing out. And really, here's DeMar DeRozan. I mean, he just admits it. I mean, LeBron, they got their number.
The last 3 years have been rough for us, you know, competing against this team. Maybe they just got our number. Things just don't go right for us. Whatever it is, it could be a lot of things, you know. All I know is, you know, last 3 years, they have been a reason why we haven't advanced. So, you know, whatever that is, I couldn't sit up here and tell you one specific thing.
I can. His name is LeBron James. Straight up. That's what's happened three straight years. That dude has dismantled you. How about, I mean, you mentioned he's clowning him. That fadeaway jumper over the backboard, I mean, if that wasn't just, I mean, in your face, I don't know what is. I mean, that was the cherry on top of this series. That was incredible.
That was just his, I'm going to put you away shot.
Oh, I'll do whatever I want
shot.
He
knew what he was doing. I know people are saying it was a travel too, but he got bumped before that. That made him walk. And then, I mean, nothing but net over the backboard is just, that's crazy, man. That's a shot you take in horse and. That's a shot you take when you're clowning a city that can't beat you or a team that can't beat you.
Yep. No, and I think the biggest thing for me, a huge advantage for LeBron and the Cavs, just all of them, but really as much or more so LeBron. I mean, you heard it in the clip, they get rest now. I mean, game one isn't supposed to be. It's likely going to be Sunday. 6 days off for the most part. 5 full days. But, I mean, you know, 5 or 6 days, however you want to look at it. That they're going to have to just rest, get their bodies right, and you know, be fully prepared to take on, which I still expect Boston to be the team that they're going to play, though Philly gets one game last night. I think this is going to be over in 5. Even if it goes 7, I just Boston's been really good on their home floor this year. They've yet to be beat. And I know even Craig was already starting to say, I don't know, I'm a little nervous about Boston now, and maybe Philly, you know, maybe Philly's going to – I'm not nervous about it. There's a reason no one's ever come back from 3-0 in NBA history. I don't expect or think that's going to start right now with this still extremely young Philadelphia 76ers team. But, Missile, I did think there was some pretty good entertainment from that game last night. I did like the dust-ups that we saw with Joel Embiid and Rozier last night, and Embiid talked about the little spat that they had on the floor.
I was trying to get the ball, and he kind of kept the ball away from me and tried to punch me twice, but too bad he's so short that he couldn't get to my face. But, you know, I didn't understand why it was a double technical, because I was just trying to get the ball, and he was the one trying to swing.
I like Joel Embiid. I like him. He's a trash talker. He's great on social media. He's not afraid, regardless of the situation, to spout off at the mouth. And I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. And I got to say, I thought that was pretty funny, him trolling Terry Rozier about being
so short that he couldn't get to my face.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, come on, Joel. Like, you guys are on the brink of elimination. Like, I mean, at some points you got to kind of know your situation, and there's no reason to poke the bear if you don't need to. And I think that's what he did a little bit. And Marcus Morris, he was not happy, and he talked about it after the game.
Reality, you know, it's hard, because I know I wouldn't say a damn word if I was down 3-1, but hey, we all different, you know, so it is what it is.
How much are you looking forward to the garden and the atmosphere in game five?
I'm ready to go now. You know, they had a lot to say in here. They did what they supposed to do. They got one. We did what we supposed to do, and we got one. So, you know, we go back, like I said, 3-1, and hopefully we put it away.
I'm going to tell you what, a Missile. I think Joel Embiid and the 76ers are going to walk into a hornet's nest in the Boston Garden. Marcus, I mean, not just from the players are going to be primed and ready. You could hear Marcus Morris. He'd go play right now. I mean, that dude was pissed. Okay. But so will that entire arena. So that's what we want out of playoff basketball. So I appreciate what Joel Embiid did, just because now this thing's building for a game five. But if I was one of his teammates, or I was a Philly fan, I would not have loved what he did last night. But I give credit to Marcus Morris. I thought he handled himself great. You know, Joel Embiid, he's chirping, he's being all kinds, he's trash talking, and, you know, the easiest and best trash talk is exactly what Marcus Morris did. 3-0, or you can go now 3-1. And that's all he did was hold up his fingers right in his face. And, you know, you don't even have to say anything, because the reality is you guys are massively in a hole that no one has ever dug out of in NBA history. So it's kind of like, why are you running your mouth? So I liked what Marcus Morris did on the floor with Embiid, and I liked him at the podium last night. And I'll say this too, Missile. Those Morris brothers, those are two guys I would not probably mess with in the NBA.
No.
If you put Embiid and Morris in a steel cage match, Embiid's going down quick.
Oh, Embiid's got a whole 6 inches on him.
What does that matter?
I mean,
he's the not quick.
Dude. He's slow, the bigger dude.
Big. I mean, yeah, he's a bigger dude, but
I don't know, man.
Big tree fall hard, my friend.
That'd be a good match. But boy, I think Joel Embiid is the most hated NBA player by his peers, or at least by opponents. Because, I mean, remember the regular season, like Russ is telling him to go home when the OKC beat him in Philly?
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone, they're like, well, we don't want to hear him talk on Twitter. So I think all his opponents just hate him. They ain't hearing him talk. And that's what makes him such a fun player, though.
He's fun. No, he's fun. I don't want him to stop.
I love Joel Embiid. Can you imagine if they come back?
The other thing is he backs it up on the floor. I'll say that, too. Like, you can talk trash. Now, again, time and place, your team's down. So maybe it's not the best time and place. But, you know, he goes out there and gets it done night in, night out. So if you're going to be lippy, I have a much bigger problem with people that run their mouth, that don't back it up. But you want to run your mouth and you're going to go out there and back it up? It doesn't really bother me. But I also don't think, from a strategic standpoint, I don't know if it was the best of decisions by Mr. Embiid. But again, yeah, you got to make for a good setting in game five, so I like it.
You got to be careful when someone can hit you back with a 3-0. Just throw up three fingers.
That's right.
Or if they can just point to the scoreboard. Yeah, that's time. That's when it's time to shut your mouth. As fun as Embiid is, you're right. He needs to be quiet.
Speaking of, I don't know if I'd say speaking of shutting your mouth, but maybe saying things you shouldn't say. I think that's the right way to say it. Speaking of people saying things they shouldn't say, today's front page of the you remember what was the headline missile with Kevin Durant?
Mr. Unreliable.
Mr. Unreliable. Do you remember that headline? Kevin Durant.
I remember that, and everyone that called in and said, well, if he leaves, it's the paper's fault.
Right, right. To the point, that's right. I mean, because at that time, Kevin Durant he held the key to the city. I mean, he could do no wrong. And how dare anyone criticize him? So I remember the article. I was at another station doing radio, and I really had no problem with it. I thought everybody was way oversensitive. But to the point that there was a retraction, right? I mean, the paper retracted the headline, I believe.
I know they apologized for it. Maybe that is retraction.
I think it's one and the same, basically, when you do that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure how that works.
So at that point in time, though, the paper was not to criticize or was not to go over the line with Thunder players. Like, no one wanted it. The city didn't want it. The team didn't want it. And, you know, clearly the paper, it complied. Boy, how times have changed. And I guess this just speaks to today, Jenny Carlson's article on the front page. I guess it just really speaks to a changing of the times. And if you are not, if you don't have the key to the city, like Melo doesn't, and everybody basically wants you out, they'll just let you write whatever the hell you want, Missile. Because that's what Jenny Carlson did today. The headline says it all. Why China could be a land of opportunity for Carmelo Anthony. Are you kidding me? Seriously? Is this a joke? She spent time and wasted space in the paper on this article? Sweet Melon, by the way. I've got a list of nicknames of NBA players in China. It's pretty funny. But Sweet Melon is what Melo goes by in China. But Jenny goes through and she basically talks about how, you know, everybody's trying to figure out this conundrum the Thunder are in with Carmelo Anthony. What are they going to do with him? They're going to stretch him. They're going to buy him out. What's going to happen? And she basically says, but what about Carmelo? Everyone thinks about the Thunder. What about Melo? She's like, yeah, well, you got to get him to agree to a buyout, but then how can he basically re-energize his career? And she basically says that it's not in the NBA, it's in China. And she goes through this whole thing and she talks about how he can make money and he can be branded and it could be this big, glorious thing in China. She even references Stephon Marbury. You know, Starberry went over to China, became a huge star. And I got to tell you, Missile, I don't think I've ever read anything that I think is more ridiculous in my life. Carmelo Anthony in China? Are you kidding me? What a joke. I mean, it really is. She talks about how he can make extra money. Missile, do you know what he's going to have made in the NBA after the Thunder pay him this $27.9 million, or let's call it 20, but if it was 27.9, just take a guess at the amount of money Carmelo Anthony's made in the NBA.
I would have to guess $255 million.
Well, that's because I told you in the break. $255 million.
Do
you think this? Now, this isn't Nike money too. This is contract money. So it's probably made in his life somewhere in the neighborhood of $350 million. Do you think Carmelo Anthony, Mr. Ego, is going to say, you know what? My prospects in the NBA are gone. So I'm going to go be a star and make a bunch of money in China, across the planet. I mean, are you kidding me? Now, maybe my only thought here is that the paper wants to do the Thunder a solid, just like when they retracted the headline of KD, and that they're going to have someone, a good writer, going to have a good writer write an article basically saying that Melo needs to go to China to really make him mad. So maybe that's what this is, Missile. Maybe the Thunder have gotten Jenny Carlson to write this article so that they can make Carmelo Anthony so mad here locally in Oklahoma City that he just wants out of Dodge as quick as possible. That's the only rationale I can make out of this article. Makes no sense.
I don't think that's why. I think, you know, hey, let's come up with an idea of what's next for Melo. And I think sometimes you take a big swing and sometimes you miss. And I think that's what happened here.
It's like Major League Baseball. I mean, it's all these strikeouts. This was a big whip.
It was a strikeout, no doubt. So, yeah, I mean, there's zero chance that Melo is headed to China at all. Coming up next, may take some phone calls, 460-WWLS. That's 405-460-WWLS. Give us a call. Thunder Thoughts, what's your thoughts on Melo this offseason? Also, Charles Barkley. We're going to tell you about this. Charles Barkley said something that probably should not have been brought up. It's just about as bad of an idea as Melo going to China. At 125, we'll talk to Jake Trotter, but stay tuned. Talk a little Charles Barkley next right here on the Sports Animal.
Exercise the demon. Sorry, that was the Washington Capitals last night. Great call. Had to be the home broadcast as the Caps take down the Pittsburgh Penguins in Game 6 last night in overtime. And Missile, that's kind of like, it's similar in a way to, you know, Washington is Toronto and Pittsburgh is Cleveland, because the Washington Capitals, as he mentioned, exercising the demons, they had lost 7 straight playoff series to Pittsburgh, and they win last night. And for Alex Ovechkin, one of the great players of my generation in hockey, he's now 1,003 regular season games, 109 playoff games, and much like after tonight for Chris Paul, he will now play in his first conference championship game. So huge night for the Caps, big night for Alex Ovechkin. Truth be told, I grew up a Lemieux and Jagr fan. I was a big fan of the Penguins way back in the day, but very cool scene last night, and good to see one of hockey's best, Alex Ovechkin, now get to play a little bit longer in this year's postseason. So yeah, the Ultimate's not going to be very happy about this, but they've won 2 straight titles. They can let somebody else hoist that Stanley's Cup.
Absolutely, man. And how about Washington, man? They're so excited. It's the conference finals. It's not the not a championship.
I think they just won the
it's
cup.
The first one. You know, it's the first one in 20 years that they've been to since the Caps have been there. No football, no baseball, no basketball conference finals, NHL conference finals. It's been 20 years, man. That's wild. That's wild. Yeah, good for them.
They're yearning for anything in Washington. Rough times on the Hill, rough times in their sports. But now they get the Caps to win and move on. So that was a cool scene from last night. I'm here today at Chapel Supply and Equipment, 6509 West Reno in Oklahoma City. Get summertime ready with a Chapel Supply pressure washer, air compressor, and generator. Perfect for your summertime needs. Air compressor starting at $195, 3,000 PSI gas pressure washers for $395, 4,000 PSI gas pressure washer, $995, 3,600 watt generator, $295. Chapel Supply is going to service all their products after they sell them, and Chapel Supply is hiring for multiple positions. So go to chapelsupply.com and find out more. You can come by here at 6509 West Reno, or call them 405-495-1722. Miss, I was telling you, we had a little issue and I got cut off, but you know, I hear a lot of people talk about like the end of days for football, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think that I could go with Melo if that happens and I could be a Chinese basketball color analyst or
Chinese football color analyst?
Maybe, is it High Lie? Maybe they play High Lie over there. I could get Mark school me up.
They play
cricket?
No, they play American football in Japan.
Oh, come on.
It's pretty
well,
big.
Japan, this is China, Missile. You want to go to Japan now? You want to send me to Japan?
China, I'm sure they have baseball. You could do baseball.
I could go to India and do cricket.
You could be a basketball analyst. India, yeah. I'm sure they play High Lie in India.
Go High Lie, yeah. I get Mark and the Ultimate to school me up.
Do you know how long cricket games last?
Probably longer than I don't know, Missile, because I've never sat and watched a cricket match.
They're like 5 days. Like the short ones are like 7 hours.
5 days?
Yeah.
We complain about a 3-hour game and they play for
five days?
5 days,
man. They have like tea breaks and stuff.
Wow. No, I did not know that.
I think it's 5 days. It might be three.
I'm going to have to expand my my sports and check out more. That's too long for. That is way too. Now, is this like a series? So would that be like
no,
a series?
I think it's. I think that's just like the game.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'll have to again. If Melo goes to China, I'm heading to India to cover cricket. I'm just going to have to do some homework and figure that sport out before I.
Okay, so
I make it over there.
So I googled it real quick. They play six hours of cricket a day, and it usually lasts 3 to 5 days.
Man, that's some commitment.
That's crazy, man.
I don't think you have to overly exert too much though in cricket, right?
Nah. It's like a slowed down version of baseball.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So I could. I'd need a lot of coffee, maybe some energy drinks to make it through a match, but I'm sure we could. If Melo can find a way to convince himself he's going to China, I can find a way to call a cricket match in India.
Oh, man. You think they have the same announcers for all 5 days? They got to rotate through.
I don't know. I mean, if it's the same players, I mean, yeah. I would think it's a little more taxing on the players than it is the broadcast crew.
Yeah. And,
hey, by the way, speaking of broadcast crews, a good friend of our show, did you see we knew about Jason Witten and Joe Tessitore. And I'd actually gotten this information a couple weeks ago, but did you see what Monday Night Football is adding for this year's broadcast?
I saw that.
Booger McFarlane as a on-field analyst. Thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, good for him. I like Booger.
Yeah.
I wonder what he'd be like up in the booth. Because, you know, we've never seen Jason Witten in the booth, and I guess you can't throw Booger straight to the booth when he's been doing, you know, college football recently.
But yeah, you know, it's crazy. He was a good player at LSU. I think he was an All-America. He's a really good defensive tackle in the National Football League. I don't know if people realize, you know, he played in Tampa with Sapp on the backside of Sapp's career. He was the nose. Sapp was the three technique. And there was a time where Booger, I would say, I mean, Sapp in his heyday, there's no comparison. But later in his career, when he had lost a step, I mean, there were times when you pop that tape in and Booger would be the most impressive defensive lineman they had. So, he knows his stuff. I've heard him in the booth do a college game. So I think he'll do a nice job on the sidelines. I'll just keep it at that. Okay?
Yep. Congrats to Booger.
No, it's awesome, man. Monday Night Football, I mean, that's definitely big time. Hey, I did say I would take some phone calls if you'd like. 460-9957. We could talk about anything you want to get into. You know, Missile, one thing, I haven't really, if people have questions about the NFL draft, I've got a pretty good beat on a lot of these draft picks. I can happily answer any of those, any Thunder questions. By the way, we do have some audio to get to next segment from Zach Lowe. Interesting what some of the upper executives in the NBA think about what the Thunder should do with Russell Westbrook. So that'll be coming up at about 12:45 from Zach Lowe. Right now, though, Missile, there was some pretty stubborn commentary that came out as it relates to the NBA. And I heard this last night. Now, I get it. We all have friends. We all want to back our friends, right? And, you know, we all want to support people that we care about. I mean, that's life. You know, I'm no different than anyone else. And I would probably, you know, at times vouch for someone that maybe I shouldn't just because they're my friend. But what I wouldn't do that is on national television. And, you know, the guys on TNT, they're great at their job. Love listening to them. They're, you know, they have all kinds of great comedy and good conversations. It's fun. I mean, it's a lot of fun. But also, I mean, you know, they're paid to give true, honest opinions, right? And be able to, typically you need to be able to back those opinions up with a little bit of fact or a little bit of rhyme or reason. Well, I was listening last night to the post game on TNT, and I heard them talk about the Detroit Pistons job. Detroit Pistons just let go of Stan Van Gundy after 4 years. Didn't go well. And I was listening to Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, and this is who they said they thought should step in and start making decisions at Detroit.
I'd like to consider the Pistons consider bringing in Isaiah Thomas as their president of basketball operations. You see the Lakers bought back Magic Johnson. They've tried everything. I think that Isaiah works with us. He's done a fantastic job. I think at times he's gotten a bad rep with all the circus stuff going on in New York and blah, blah, blah. But I think the Detroit Pistons should consider bringing him in as the president of basketball operations.
I second that motion.
All right, third it.
I mean, are you kidding me? Like, Isaiah Thomas was an amazing point guard, great player, and he's one of the all-time great Pistons. He might be, Mitchell, is he the greatest Piston ever? I'd say he probably is.
Yeah, I'd probably say so. I mean, he's probably a better player than Bill Laimbeer.
Oh, no doubt. So, there's no question.
I mean, that's probably the second best player in Pistons history.
Yeah, I mean, we had Rodman, you had Joe Dumars, but I mean, listen, I've made my mind up. Anyone's welcome to tell me I'm wrong. Isaiah Thomas, the best Detroit Piston in their history. Okay, he was a fantastic basketball player. But let's just be honest, man. Let's be real. He was awful as an executive. He ran the New York Knicks into the ground. Highest payroll, one of the worst records. And, oh, by the way, Mitchell, I believe it was, I'll have to fully look this up, but, I mean, that entire organization, it was like a scandal, right? I mean, there was all kinds of workplace violations that transpired by Isaiah Thomas. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff with this guy. He has not had success as an executive. Just because he played at Detroit does not mean that he is the guy that should go in there and start to be the decision maker and right the ship. Like, on some level, doesn't there have to be some ground to stand on if you're going to make those comments? Other than he's our buddy. We like him. He was a great player for that organization. And yeah, he works with us as an analyst. I was surprised by that. I can't think of many people that would think that Isaiah Thomas needs to go run an NBA organization. I mean, haven't we seen how that's gone and it failed absolutely miserably?
Yeah, we already saw it. He's one of the worst decision makers there was. I mean, he made so many bad deals with them. He hired Larry Brown, who only lasted a season in New York. Then he coached himself, and it was a disaster. Made some terrible draft picks, terrible signings. I mean, he was just bad all around. And I mean, that's not even on top of the sexual harassment stuff. That's even worse. Like, he can't be a president of basketball operations after having to settle sexual harassment claims with the Knicks. I'm sorry. He's not qualified to be a president of basketball operations again.
Exactly. Yeah. I thought that was a crazy assertion by three guys that I really enjoyed listening to. And I really respect. I mean, I get it. That's their boy. They said their piece. You know, maybe what they say, it doesn't matter. Maybe Detroit's not going to actually do it. But, I mean, I guess they probably hit him up afterward. Hey, dog, we got your back, man. See? Hope you heard that. We got your back. We're all on board. But the reality is that's terrible advice. Terrible. Isaiah Thomas, I mean, again, I'm sorry. He felt so bad. He was so bad at New York. To me, he lost his opportunity to come back and be the head decision maker of an NBA franchise. That would be foolishness, in my opinion, if Detroit brings him in. The other thing that I heard that was foolish, well, let's rewind and go back. This was earlier in the season, Enes Kanter, and some of his thoughts about LeBron James.
We fight really hard. We play with a lot of energy. But I'll tell you one thing. This team is really special. And you ain't coming to my house playing that water bottle flip game again. You know what I mean? I don't care who you are, king. What do you call yourself? King, queen, princess, whatever you are. You know what? We're going to fight. And nobody out there going to punk us. So we're just going out there, play our game. And I think we're just going to get better and better every day.
Tough guy in his cancer. I still wish, I said this whenever he said earlier in the season, I wish that tough guy would have been there when Zaza was standing over Russell Westbrook. They needed that tough guy on the floor at that point. But that was earlier in the year, and Enes Kanter, he had some real issue with LeBron James. Not King James, as you heard, queen, princess, whatever it is. But they had their little spats back and forth. It carried over onto the floor, and Enes a big tough guy. But, I mean, he's anti-LeBron James. He's been trolling him all year. Well, Mitchell, you know what? You know what Enes Kanter does have? He's got eyeballs, like the rest of us. You know what he's been watching, Mitchell?
LeBron.
He's been watching LeBron destroy the LeBronto Raptors and the Indiana Pacers. He is now seeing firsthand, now that he's in the East, playoff LeBron James. And you know what, Enes? he's wisened up, I guess. He is seeing with his eyes, and he's getting smarter. And instead of picking a fight with LeBron, instead of trolling LeBron, instead of being a thorn in LeBron's backside, he wants to team up with LeBron. And this is what he had to say yesterday.
People keep debating about who is the king of New York. Okay, who is the really king of New York? Hey, LeBron, yes. You really want to be king of New York? Come and prove it. I'll see you July 1st, brother. Good luck.
I'll see you July 1st, brother. Who is this guy? I mean, it is cancer. I mean, listen, that just tells me that's how impressive LeBron James has been here in this postseason. Everybody wants a missile, even the people that had challenged him this year, that have ripped him this year, that have made it a point to have a little spat back and forth. Even people that can't stand the guy recognize how ridiculously good he is. Okay? And now, Enes Kanter, once a guy who couldn't stand LeBron, the queen, the princess, now he wants him to come be the king of New York, Missile. How about that?
That's funny. I mean, it's like as soon as you you want to talk smack to him when he beats you, but then as soon as you realize what he's going to do to everyone else, you want him on your team.
And you realize how good he makes the players around him, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
I think Enes is saying, man, I'd love to play LeBron James. Why am I picking a fight with this guy? I need to be making friends with this guy. Well, unfortunately, sorry, Enes. A, it wouldn't matter if they could land LeBron. You'd be out. But B, he's not coming to New York City. So I'm sure he appreciates the kind words, but I don't think he'll be seeing you anytime soon, brother. All right, when we get back, though, there was some very interesting things on a podcast with Zach Lowe. And he says he spoke with several people around the NBA, and there's some strong opinions on what the Thunder need to do with Russell Westbrook. We'll discuss next. Excellent last night. A little change by Brett Brown. He inserts him to the starting lineup, and he goes 9-12 for 19 points. Also grabs 7 boards and 5 dimes with no turnovers. TJ McConnell, he was great. He also brings them some edge and some energy. I don't know if you should expect that same type of play in the Garden as this thing goes back in Boston and tries to close it out tomorrow night in game number 5. I'm here today at Chapel Supply and Equipment, 6509 West Reno here in Oklahoma City. We'll tell you more throughout the day of the great things they have going on here right now. Missile, I haven't talked much at all today about the games tonight. I think Houston and Golden State are going to win and probably win handily tonight. I think both those series are over.
I agree with that. Utah's just too beat up at point guard. I know they've won one in Houston already, but I don't know. I don't think they have enough in them to push it to a game 6. And then Golden State's pretty much they're light years ahead of New Orleans. New Orleans won the game that they're already going to win this series. They didn't get swept, but it's a gentleman's sweep this round.
Yeah, I think so too. I think these are done, and we finally get what we've all been waiting for, Houston and Golden State. That series is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, I teased it, so let's pay it off. Zach Lowe, who, Missile, I think I've decided he's my Tim McMahon and Royce are my favorite writers. I mean, I read more of their stuff than anybody else, but I would say Zach Lowe is the best at breaking it down and then providing quality video evidence to back up what he says. So I have a lot of respect for his opinion, and I know he's really dialed in the NBA. He was on a podcast over the weekend, I believe, and here was some of what he had to say about Russell Westbrook.
By the way, there's an increasing number of people around the league who think the Thunder should look at trading Westbrook. Not, to be clear, not a report. Not Thunder sources think they should do this. It's just in spitballing ideas with teams around the league. There's a number of people who I've heard just like it's time for something to change here. And my reaction to that is no one should touch that contract with a 10-foot pole.
All right, there you go. At Zach Lowe. Missile, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't trade him. I'm sorry. I mean, I feel like you're married to this guy. I mean, for right, wrong, or indifferent. I mean, I think Russell Westbrook is your guy. And on multiple levels, trading him, A, I don't think you'll get anything near equal return in trade. Okay, I just don't. I can't think of any superstar that's been traded that you said, man, that team really, that team really did well. Now, we've seen stars force their way out, and they kind of force the team's hand, so they're kind of left with taking what they can get. That's not the situation right now. And I just don't, I don't think you're going to get anything near an equal return or value. So I don't think you're going to make your basketball team better in the short. I guess there's a chance you hit a draft pick and it really pays off. So in the long term, maybe it works out better. But in the short, definitely not a better team. And even in the long term, I don't think so. I think that, you know, Russell Westbrook is, I mean, for all his flaws, right, and for all his craziness that he has, his quirks and, you know, his decision-making at times, it's all over the place. But I do think this city loves him, and they appreciate the fact that he stayed, the fact that he didn't want to go anywhere when he obviously could. He signed that long-term extension. So I think that you'd have a fan base that would probably be pretty upset, and I think they'd be even more upset because you're not going to be very good for the next couple years, Missel. You're going to miss the playoffs, definitely. You'll probably be one of the bottom teams in the Western Conference, no Russell Westbrook. So, I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, trade that contract away. I mean, look at the end. His athleticism might not be there, and you're going to be paying north of $40 million a year. Get the heck away from me with that. But the reality is, I mean, I'm not saying you're going to get to a championship with Russell, but I think Russell Westbrook is better than any other option out there for the Thunder currently with the way they have things.
I completely agree. I mean, you said it best. You are not going to get equal value back. I mean, look what they got back for Harden. Yeah, it ended up with Steven Adams, who's really, really good, but he's not an MVP. Harden's going to win the MVP this year. So you're not going to get equal value back in return. Just not going to happen. You can't trade him, and at least not right now. And even when it starts to go south, which it will by the end of this contract, I mean, that's just what happens. Superstars age. You can still trade him, you know, like the Knicks were able to trade Melo. So you can trade him later on, but for now, I mean, you got to keep him the next couple of years. I mean, this is the only superstar you're guaranteed to have locked down at least next year, and the year after that.
That's
so
right.
You can't trade him.
You have yet to have any, you know, high level player come to Oklahoma City willingly as a free agent, which means you've got to build through the draft. And I get it. They hit on some picks way back when. Right? I mean, that's kind of what Sam Presti's, what his credibility is built in, is those draft picks. I mean, really, if you look at it, I mean, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Serge Ibaka. After that, I could make an argument there's been far more mistakes than hits, but those were three, four key hits. Now, think about this scenario. He's already traded James Harden, who's going to win the MVP, is going to fight for a world championship. Then he lost Kevin Durant. He's traded Serge, which I like the Serge trade, but now he's going to trade Russell Westbrook. So you had that nucleus of guys and nothing. I mean, nothing at all. You may get nothing anyway, but at least you would have one of the most explosive athletes on the planet in your arena 41 times a year for your fans to enjoy and appreciate. You'd move him. You don't know exactly what's coming back this way. And I'm just saying that is not the move that I would make. What Zach Lowe kind of mentioned, that is kind of some of the back channel conversations that are being had by NBA executives that think Sam Presti and Oklahoma City should move on from Russell Westbrook. I'm at Chapel Supply and Equipment today, 6509 West Reno here in Oklahoma City. Get summertime ready with a Chapel Supply pressure washer, air compressor, or a generator. And by the way, Chapel Supply services all their products after they sell them, and they're hiring right now for multiple positions. Check them out online, chapelsupply.com. We got a lot more coming your way next hour. Keep it right here on the Leader in Sports, 98.1 WWLS, the Sports Animal. Number two here on the Monsters of the Midday. Dusty Dvorak and the Missile with you. We got Jake Trotter coming up at 1:25 from ESPN. If you'd like to join the show today, you are free to do so. 460-9957. 460-WWLS. Don't always take calls on this show, but every now and again I'm feeling froggy and I'm going to jump. So if you guys want to join in, you got some questions, thoughts in the world of sports, now is your time. 460-9957, 460-WWLS. I'm here at Chapel Supply and Equipment today, 6509 West Reno here in Oklahoma City. Whether it's an air compressor, pressure washer, generator, they've got everything you need for the summertime, and they're going to service all their products after they sell them. Great people here, Chapel Supply and Equipment. Missel, one of the biggest things on my Twitter feed from yesterday was the outfit of Tom Brady Last night was the Met Gala, and it's known for people really stepping out there and wearing maybe some questionable attire. Now, last night, Tom arrived at the star-studded event with his supermodel wife, Giselle, and they were wearing Versace missile. But Tom's jacket, it had a Barocco embroidered Versace suit, and it had a gold design on his lapel. He's also rocking a turtleneck, interesting way he was doing his hair, and it had Twitter roasting him limb from limb. I mean, anywhere you could see, I mean, everybody was chiming in. Football fans, football writers, people that didn't even like football. I saw it all yesterday. I saw him called the Dragon Slayer, an accountant for a mariachi band. He's a villain in a James Bond movie. It goes on and on and on. So I will ask you, Missile, what were your thoughts of Tom Brady's attire at the Met Gala yesterday?
I think the mariachi band fits perfectly. The mariachi looks like he's...
That's Versace, man. You think a mariachi band's wearing Versace?
Versace.
It's Versace, but, you know.
I mean, that's
kind of
what it looks like, man. He just needs a little, the puffy things around the cuffs. And he's got it. He's got a turtleneck on. That's so weird. It's like a blazer with a turtleneck. I don't think that works.
I showed my wife this picture today. I wanted to get her thoughts.
Uh-oh.
And
she loved it.
I don't know if she loved it, but it's kind of what I was saying to her. I mean, here's the deal. I barely recognize, or I barely even look at what Tom Brady's wearing. You don't know why, Missile?
Why?
Because I'm staring at his supermodel wife, who looks smoking hot. Okay? So I guess my point is, while everybody wants to mock and make fun of him, he's standing there with the hottest girl at the party. So does it really matter what he's wearing? I mean, I guess that's my thing. It's like, if this is what Giselle wants, this is what I'm going to wear. I mean, I say it all the time. A happy wife, a happy life. And that does not change when your wife is a supermodel. So is this an outfit that I would have picked out for me that Tom Brady's donning? Probably not. I don't have any fashion sense. But I can tell you this. I oftentimes have my wife pick out what I'm going to wear on TV. If we're going somewhere nice, I'll have her, you know, let me know what she thinks. If my wife would have told me to dress like a mariachi band member, I'd probably be mariachi in it. You know what I mean? Because though my wife isn't a supermodel, she is a supermodel wife. And if she tells me to dress in something, I'm probably going to do it. So I guess mock Tom all you want. I think he's the one that's standing there laughing in the end.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point.
I mean, did you see Giselle's dress and how high that slip went up? That little cut? I mean, she's showing a full leg there.
Yeah.
Who cares what Tom's wearing when his wife's going to show that much leg?
Can't be wearing a turtleneck with a suit, bro.
I'm just saying, Tom Brady, he lives a different life, man. He lives a different life. He's a little bit different cat. And if I saw some video that Giselle loved his outfit. She helped him pick it out. So that's what Giselle wanted Tom to wear. Tom said, whatever. I'm bringing you home later. I'll wear whatever you want me to wear to the party. I thought it was, I wasn't as upset, I guess, as some with what Tom Brady was donning last night at the Met Gala. You know, one thing that I have has been interesting for me since the draft, talked about a little bit on air, but there's this growing, growing feeling and just thoughts from NFL people that Lincoln Riley is an offensive guru, okay? And I'd read a lot of stuff during the draft, how all these teams were coming into Oklahoma, basically picking this guy's brain, right? I mean, not just about his players, not just about is Baker Mayfield, you know, a quarterback that can lead a franchise, but also just kind of what he does, his system, his play calling style, all these different things, just from an offensive-minded standpoint, they've been picking his brain. And, you know, I went out to Arizona, and I'd already kind of mentioned and I'd actually talked to some people behind the scenes before I went out there, and we kind of had this conversation. And I was like, basically what I said was, you know, Hugh Jackson's probably going to get fired next year. I expect the Cleveland Browns, one of the first phone calls they make is to Lincoln Riley. And it was kind of brought to my attention that it shouldn't be the Cleveland Browns that worry Oklahoma fans or that could lure Lincoln away from Oklahoma. But maybe the Dallas Cowboys is a team that they potentially should be worried about. Now, Lincoln Riley's got one of the best jobs in the country, and college coaches make on par what NFL coaches make. But I had some of these conversations before I go to Arizona. I get down to Arizona, and several conversations I had were about Lincoln Riley and how at the draft he was all the buzz about with the NFL teams. So I came across this yesterday, and Lincoln Riley, I guess, sat down and did a podcast. Is Lincoln on this podcast with a missile?
Yeah, he's the guest. It's the Adam Schefter podcast.
So this is the Adam Schefter podcast, and here is Lincoln Riley talking about this very topic.
I don't know. Not anything that's in my mind right now. I love where I'm at, and I really love kind of coaching this age group. So I don't know that you ever say never, but I – you know, I feel like I got the best job in the country right now. I love coaching at Oklahoma, so I'm going to try to be the best one I can here.
And I don't think that, I mean, I'm not saying you should worry Oklahoma fans, and I don't, Lincoln Riley may stay here 19, 20 years like his predecessor, Bob Stoops. And I think he probably will put himself in the position to do that if that's what he wants to do. I think he's a heck of a football coach. Really do. I think, and especially from a recruiting aspect, as we've seen, watching him here this last year, he's thriving in the system. Obviously, there's not that in the NFL. But, like he said, you never say never. And the one team that it sounds to me like that if he were to go somewhere, I don't think he's going anywhere, but to watch out for the Dallas Cowboys, kind of on both ends, that if Jason Garrett, if he gets bounced, expect Jerry, one of his first phone calls could be up north, up I-35 to Lincoln Riley. Again, I don't know for, I mean, Lincoln may be fully content on staying right here at Oklahoma. I think the NFL called for Coach Stoops a couple of times, at least definitely for Cleveland. But you got to remember, Lincoln, he's from Texas. He's a diehard, and I mean diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. So I don't know. I mean, maybe that's the job. Maybe that's the job that since he's been a small kid and started growing up watching football, that's been a dream of his whole life. I have no idea. I haven't asked him that directly, but I do know there was quite a bit of buzz, which is obviously why Adam Schefter broached the topic, and it could be something we should at least have our eyes open to and be mindful of here these next several years while Lincoln Riley's at Oklahoma and what exactly transpires around the National Football League. And what I would say is really keep your eyes on Dallas and how much longer Jason Garrett has. So what do you think, Missile? Think he's you think that any chance Lincoln Riley's leaving Oklahoma for the National Football League anytime soon?
I don't know about anytime soon. I could see it if he's there for a few years and he's building a program. Because, I mean, the NFL, while it's not as safe as college, if you're successful in college, I mean, that's probably one of the safest jobs there is. NFL, I mean, you could have a bad year.
Not for
anytime.
Long, homie. NFL, yeah. Players exactly. And coaches.
Exactly. It's not for long. I mean, there's so much changeover, so it's less safe. But the way I could see him doing it is if he doesn't like recruiting anymore. Because, you know, it's a lot more work in college, right? I mean, you know this better than I do, but it's a lot more work. You have to go recruit the players. You have to talk to them. You have to keep in touch with all of them, which I'm not saying it's like a bad thing, but I'm just saying it's more work than it would be in the NFL, where all you got to do is someone else is drafting the players for you. All you got to do is come up with the plays. I mean, I know you still got to talk to the players, but it's not the same. It's not as much commitment there as college is. So I think eventually he could go to the NFL. I could see it.
Oh, I could see it. I think he'd have a chance at being successful. It's just, does he want to? I mean, there's some, you make some really good points because you're right. Like, job safety, job security standpoint, I mean, it's much easier at college. I mean, it just is, especially when you're at a place like Oklahoma. Now, once you get that monster is already rolling, he's really got it rolling. You got to keep it up there, right? Or as we've seen, the fans get disgruntled. You pop off more than one 4 or 5 loss season, all of a sudden, you know, that at least from a fan base standpoint, there all of a sudden they're not quite as happy.
Hey,
but
he might
really,
not, might not even take that many losses. I mean, look at Les Miles.
Well, look up at Nebraska when they had Bo Pelini. I mean, he's going 9-3 and they bounced him.
Exactly.
But for the most part, I mean, I think Coach Stoops is a. You look at Mike Gundy. You look at Bob Stoops. I mean, I think those guys right there, you can see you can go and stay at places like that and have success and not really have to worry nearly as much as you do in the National Football League about job security. So I do think there's more of that, especially in Oklahoma and kind of what Lincoln has going. On the other hand, you recruit year-round. And while that is a strength of his and while it's something that I think a lot of coaches probably embrace, the reality is it has to be a nuisance. It has to be a pain in the rear end at some point. I mean, because it's constant. It never stops. The National Football League, as you said, you don't have to recruit. Now, you will have to give a lot of input on the draft. It's not just like the GM is just going to do the drafting. I mean, they want input from the coaches, and you got to watch tape, and you got to do your due diligence every year around draft time. But the reality is, during that time, I mean, it's like an 8-hour day. I mean, it's, you know, you go in the office, you're going to watch tape, and you're going to, 9 to 5, and I'm out of here. And it's only football, right? I mean, it's just about the football, whereas college, there's a lot of other, things, boosters, just these different things that you kind of have to be mindful of, and you got to give your attention to. So I think from that aspect, I'd give advantage to the National Football League. And, I mean, let's face it, I mean, this could be good or bad. The National Football League, you get to work with the best of the best, plain and simple. In college, you're not working with the best of the best, but maybe you don't have to deal with those same big personalities, big contracts. You can't tell me anything. I've already got it figured out. So whereas in college, you're getting 18-year-old kids that you have kind of handpicked, that you've already developed relationships with, and you get to help them develop, watch them grow. So there's just it's the same job, right? You're the head coach of a major organization, but the job duties for each are completely different. So, if it ever comes to this point, I'm sure that this will be there will be a list. On one side, this is the benefit, and, here's not the benefit, and that'll be a decision, as we see, a lot of coaches have to go through. But I do expect, I'll be surprised if we don't start hearing very soon Lincoln Riley's name in the very least mentioned for NFL head coaching job. Because from anyone I can speak to, he is the buzz right now around 32 teams. The offense he's running, the way he calls plays, and everything in between. So I found that very interesting because it was a big topic for me last week, not necessarily on the radio. But then I saw this Adam Schefter clip, and I thought it was very interesting and a good conversation.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. It's safer job security in college is a big thing. And then NFL, it's risky to take it. College, you have more control over what you're doing. But, I mean, eventually, he's going to want to try it out is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I don't know. Would not surprise me at all, though. Again, especially, we've heard we've heard Mike Gundy reference, Oklahoma State as his Yankees job. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys come calling? You've been a Cowboys fan since you're 5 years old? That's not your Yankees job. That's your Cowboys job. I mean, that's been your dream your whole life. And now all of a sudden Jerry Jones wants you to run the ship? Again, I'm not saying that he would say yes for sure, but whew, that could be a very interesting conversation. That said, Lincoln Riley's the head coach at Oklahoma. I don't see that changing anytime soon. And Jason Garrett is the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. His job security, I don't know. They better have a good year this year because last year was not great. All right, we got to talk to Jake Trotter of ESPN whenever we get back, maybe get his thoughts on this, and we'll go look around the Big 12 as we are now through all of spring football, and we are in the dog days of summer, so to speak, late spring as we get into summer with the college football slate. So I'm here today at Chapel Supply and Equipment, 6509 West Reno here in Oklahoma City. Summertime is here. Chapel Supply can get you ready for all your summertime needs, pressure washer, air compressor, or generators. Also, they're hiring right now for multiple positions. Just go to chapelsupply.com or you can come by here, 6509 West Reno. Jake Trotter of ESPN joins the Monsters next.
1-1, and that is drilled deep to left field, and you can kiss that one goodbye. A three-run home run for George Springer, and the Astros' lead is 5-0. Springer with his eighth of the year.
The Missiles Astros with a big win yesterday, and George Springer with a heck of a ball game. 6-for-6, Missiles. Second time in Astros history. Just the 105th time in Major League Baseball Hicks history. There's been a six-hit game. Impressive at the plate by George Springer.
Yeah, no doubt. 6-6 games, just those aren't something you hear about ever. I mean, I heard you say earlier how rare it was. I mean, that was just... just crazy. It's one of those random baseball nights.
255 cycles in Major League Baseball history, only 105 six-hit games. So that was a heck of a ball game for Mr. Springer. So welcome to the show from ESPN, the Iron Man of the sports animal, Mr. Jake Trotter. What's up, man?
I would like to request that I not be introed with Astros highlights ever again.
Request denied.
Dang. You sound like a disgruntled baseball fan. Tell me about your Reds.
Well, we
sit on my couch here. Let's talk.
Our whole starting pitching staff is either hurt or horrific. I had a buddy in Cincinnati texted me yesterday, said that they emailed him, said you can buy season tickets for this year, 50% off. They can't give the tickets away right now.
That's tough. I want to say Huntman said earlier they're on pace to win like 39 games.
Yeah, they're on pace to go like 39-120.
Yeah,
121.
I know it's kind of funny. Huh? I hate to laugh too much because my Rangers are not quite that bad, but they're really not any good. So I'm not going to be the guy that rubs it in. Missile said you got some over unders. I like over unders. What do you have for us today?
Yeah, I thought that'd be kind of interesting to get into. Was there something you wanted to talk about?
No. I'm all ears.
So, I don't know, this is from an offshore book, and you know those are a little bit dicey at times.
Okay.
You know, this is not something coming in from, like, Todd Furman or Pat Jack. So, a couple of these seem weird to me, but if I bet, you know, if I were to gamble on games, and I don't, there are a couple of these I would go really heavy on. Okay, so, Oklahoma is number one. They're at 10.5.
Ooh.
Which seems a tiny bit high to me. What do you think?
I mean, that's tough. I mean, you're saying they're going 11-1.
Yeah, basically.
If you're staying the over, they're 11-1 team next year, which they don't have the Ohio State. I mean, you feel like they're going to get through their non-conference.
Yep.
But, I mean, I don't know. I would stay away from that. I would. I don't know what I'm going to pick Oklahoma for next season. But, man, to put money that they're going to be 11-1 and Kyler Murray's first year as a starting quarterback, that'd be tough.
Yeah, assuming Kyler Murray even is the quarterback. Here's the deal. Missile, you can weigh in too. I'm going under. You going under, Dusty?
Oh, I have to give you a decision today?
Yeah, that's why I want your decision. That's the thing.
Over under 10.5 wins. Man. Let me pull the schedule. Go ahead. Give me the next one. I'll give it to you before you get off.
I'll say under, Jake.
They play Florida Atlantic. They play UCLA. They go to Iowa State. They got Army. Uh-huh. And then the Big 12, beginning with, I think, Texas, right? In the Texas game right after that?
I don't know. That's what I was going to look.
I think it's Iowa State's their Big 12 opener this year. In
yeah, but then, that's in then they three. Play. Then they have a non-conference after that.
Yeah, okay.
Then they play Army, and then they have Texas.
I mean, I'll say under, but I could change, but I'm just going to say under. I'd say, you know, they could be 10-2, win the Big 12, get to 11. Yeah, I'm going to say under in the regular season.
I'm not betting.
10.5.
If you think Oklahoma's going 11-1, then you think they're going to the playoff. And I do not. I would not. I'm not saying it can't happen.
I probably wouldn't put money on it just yet. Go ahead. I'll say they're 10-2, just under.
Okay, so number two I thought was really interesting, and this one seems like an under to me, but Oklahoma State at 8.5.
Under.
Missile?
Man, I like him at 8-4 next year, so I'd have to say under. That's a lot tougher than the OU.
They went 9-3 this year, and they had their whole team back, you know, from the year before with
Correct.
You know, a third round quarterback and a, you know, a cup winner at wide receiver. I just don't see
as good a team as Mike Gundy had had, by the way. It's what he said before the year.
Yeah, and they went 9-3, which is just barely
three home losses,
so,
which is
staggering.
Yeah,
you know, they've got a tough game against Boise State in the non-conference. You know, they got to go to Norman. They got to go to somewhere else tough. Was it TCU next year?
TCU is the season finale on the road.
So they, I don't see it. I'm going under. Now, speaking of TCU, TCU is eight.
Eight for TCU. I actually think they're going to be pretty decent. Okay.
They're gonna
they got
really
Ohio State in the non-conference. That's interesting.
Yeah, they play the Buckeyes in Arlington. Now, they're TCU. TCU is going to be as good on the defensive line as they have been maybe ever under Gary Patterson, which is saying quite a bit. They're gonna be really good on the defensive line.
Really,
you know, they've
good.
Got Ross Blaylock and Corey Bethley, and of course the defensive ends back. So Bandigu. You know, they've got the all Mac linebacker transfer in as a grad transfer from Northern Illinois. They're going to be good defensively. It's really, do you believe in Sean Robinson, a quarterback? And I actually don't as of today. So I kind of lean. I'm leaning toward the under on TCU.
I really like that running back they had that emerged at the end of the year, Darius Anderson. I think he's a
player.
Well,
I mean, he ran for like 250 on Oklahoma State early on in the season, and he got hurt.
But he, I thought, he.
Simo,
I think eight's the number for them. I'm going to say.
Yeah, it feels right.
I think 8-4 is where I'd have them. But I'll say over since I've gone two unders. I'll say over 8 for TCU.
I'm going to go under, but I don't feel great about it.
These
are tough.
I'll say over on TCU. I'm always higher on TCU, and Patterson he does such a great job of developing talent that I could see TCU beating expectations with all the losses they had.
They got to replace four starters on the offensive line,
mm-hmm.
and they got a new quarterback. That's not a great combination.
I'll say this though: of the three teams we've discussed. Of the three quarterbacks that are going to be new quarterbacks, I mean, I'm really not feeling like losing Kenny Hill is that big of a travesty. I think Mason Rudolph and Baker Mayfield, very difficult to replace those two guys, two of the better guys, you know, in program history. Whereas Kenny Hill, I don't know, man.
I don't think that hurts them. I just don't know if they're going to be. I mean, they might take a little step. I mean, Sean Robinson was 6-27 completing passes, or no, 6-17. You know, his
God, they were so. You know what this should be though. You know what that should be. This should remind, like, I've heard a lot of people, like Spencer Sanders, expected just to step in and be the guy next year. Just true freshman, or even, you know, a second-year guy. It's not always. I mean, Sean Robinson was supposed to be a star, right, out of Texas. I remember he came early. He came in January. Everyone loved him. People were saying last year he may beat out Kenny Hill. Remember?
Yeah. No, I know. I'm with you. And like Baker Mayfield at Texas Tech. I mean, like Baker Mayfield is one of the great quarterbacks in recent college football history. Heisman winner. As a freshman at Texas Tech, he got picked off all the time. He was not at the end of the year. Decidedly better than Davis Webb. I mean, I thought Davis Webb played really well in the bowl game, and so you know, as a true freshman, it's hard.
No question. All right, what else you got? Who else? Texas.
So these three are all at the same number.
Okay,
and that is Kansas State.
Okay,
West Virginia. Boy, Vegas is not. I mean, the books are not big on West Virginia. This is the second over under where I've seen them lower than I would have thought, and then Texas. Kansas State, West Virginia, and Texas all at 7. I'm going to tell you right now, I might play the over on all three of these teams, definitely two of them. What do you guys think?
I'll take the bait. I spent quite a bit of time with Dana Holgorsen in Scottsdale. And nothing.
Did you guys close the bar down together at any night?
I spent a lot of time in Scottsdale with Dana Holgorsen. He's a fine gentleman. And I think he's going to have a good football team. So I'm going over the 7 on that one. K-State.
Hold on real quick. West Virginia over 7 is the easiest one for me on this list.
Yeah, which means it's probably the wrong way.
Yeah. Boy, if they went 7-5, though, that would be a really bad season for them.
It would. I mean, they've got legitimate Biletnikoff and Heisman Trophy candidates on their roster. I think each of those guys would be somewhere in your top 5 to 8. Definitely Sills would be probably a top three at receiver. And I would say Will Greer's probably, you know, outside your top five, you know, probably that 7 to 8 before the year starts is an opportunity to win it. Texas, man, I've said.
Come on, Dusty. I know you want to.
They're going to lose to USC. Let's see. They do get USC in the backyard.
I don't know that they're going to lose to USC.
Yeah, I don't know.
USC's not going to be any good next year.
I mean, to be honest with you, I think they're 8-4 team. I mean, I think they're very similar. So I would probably say over. And as far as Kansas State goes, I can't say all three of those over. I'll say K-State. I think K-State's 7-5. Oh, man. These are
real
tough.
Real quick, I wrote about Texas today. There were two phenomenal stats that I found. Number one, and I think I heard Kerry Murdoch say something about this, and so I looked it up and found it to be true, and I included it in the story. Texas has not had a quarterback start consecutive Red River showdowns since Colt McCoy, which underscores the turmoil they've had at that position. And it could be the case again if Shane Buechele or somebody else other than Ellinger starts this year. And then on the other side of the coin, if you take out the Maryland game, if you just start the season at week two moving forward, Texas was number two in the country in defensive efficiency behind only Clemson, and they were a top 10 team defensively in three and outs forced, in turnovers forced, in yards per play, and in, what was the other stats? Oh, third down defense. So they were like a top 10 defense without a doubt after that Maryland game the rest of the year, and they lose some key guys. There's no doubt about it, Puna Ford, Malik, Deshaun Elliott, but they've got some dudes on the way. And
You're all bought in, dude. Golly, I told you just the other day, dial it back. I told you on Thursday, I could feel the buzz out there. People were chirping about Texas, and here you are, man. You are hook, line, sinker. They got
real
you.
Real quick.
You're in, dude. I'm just telling you. National this. Champions next year or the year after?
Year after. Real quick, I know we got to go. So Iowa State at 6. I could go either way on that. Texas Tech at 5.5, same. Baylor at 5 seems high, but I think they'll be better. And here's the most inexplicable one maybe on the entire list. Kansas at 3. There's no way they're winning four games.
Kansas isn't winning four games. Just play the under, and worst case, you're pushing.
We should call up this book, guys, and do a parlay. West Virginia on the over, KU on the under. I think we'd make pretty good money. So,
you know,
anyway.
Those would be my two favorites because a lot of these are hard. Last year, I thought I had two locks. And I really liked Oklahoma State at 9. I said, man, are you kidding me? At 9?
That was a push.
Pretty over. It's a push, right? Texas Tech was at 6. I said it's a lock. They're not getting to a bowl game. 6-6.
And
so the two I looked at before the year that I thought were surefire, can't miss, hit right on the number.
Yeah. Well,
Vegas is pretty good.
That's the thing. You just, you know, TCU, nobody thought they were going to be great. And I think there's going to be a team like that in the Big 12 this year coming from middle of the pack. Right now, it kind of sounds
like Texas.
Yeah,
you've got the horn.
I know.
You've said that since I've known you, though.
Last year I was off the bandwagon, but 2 years ago I was fully on. I think you were driving it.
You and I were competing each week to see who was more in on Texas. It was pretty.
We
disgusting.
Crashed and burned in week two at Cal. Our wagon was like in the gutter. So
two years ago. When Joe Tessitore famously said, Texas is back after they beat Notre Dame. And we were all like, man, this team's pretty good.
We got into a knockdown drag out with the missile,
and the missile was exactly right. So I will continue to give it up to
you on
that missile.
Thank you. I'm going to go Texas under again just because.
We hammered the missile on that Monday after that Texas Notre Dame game. Dusty and I were so. We were like the ultimate, you know, basically on some of his bets, and then it
blew up in our face.
It came back on us pretty quickly.
Hey, listen, if we continue to keep picking games wrong here in America, we can follow Jenny Carlson's lead, and we can go with Carmelo Anthony to China. We can try to pick Chinese basketball games. What do you think?
I saw she wrote about Carmelo. She's saying they should trade him to a Chinese team.
Just go read the article.
Can you I gotta go read it. Can you trade a player to like a Panathinaikos or something?
No, no, no. She's actually sounds like she might be Carmelo's agent, and she's propositioning Carmelo to represent him. But she thinks that the future for Carmelo Anthony is unbelievably opportunistic in China, and she writes all about it.
I was listening to a podcast this morning, and Zach Lowe from ESPN said he's hearing teams thinking that the Thunder should trade Westbrook.
You should listen to this show more often. We talked about both of those throughout these last 2 hours.
Yeah, no, pretty good content. I listen to the show. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So anyway,
get out of here with your over-unders. Good stuff today, Jake. Jake Trotter, the Iron Man of the Sports Animal. Man, those over-unders are pretty tough, Missile.
Yeah,
I mean, all of them are kind of right there. Very, very close to where I would pick most of these teams' season-ending records. But that's why, you know, Vegas doesn't just give away free money. I'm here at a great place today. You got to come by and check it out. Chaps Supply and Equipment, 6509 West Reno here in Oklahoma City. Get your summer ready with a Chaps Supply pressure washer, air compressor, and generator. Air compressor starting at $195, 4,000 PSI gas pressure washer, $995, and 3,600-watt generators, $295, and Chapel Supply services all their products after they sell them. And by the way, they're hiring for multiple positions. Just go to chapelsupply.com. We will put a bow on today's show when we get back. There was a couple of comments that were made that really irked me. I'll tell you next. At the Knight Commission on Intercollegiate Athletics in Washington, D.C. Obviously, very heartfelt comments by her. Anytime I hear that, Missile, it just makes my stomach turn a little bit. Like, I say all the time, I don't agree with all the things that are done in the NCAA and exactly how the compensation works for the players. But to compare it to slavery, I mean, slavery is one of the biggest black eyes in this country. I mean, it's disgusting and repulsive what transpired. And when I look at NCAA athletics, while I don't agree with the way the money's distributed and with all the, with the lack of, I would say, proper money allocated to the laborers, as she called it. Why I don't agree with all of it. To go from that to saying that it's slavery or the prison system, I just have a hard time with that. I really do. I'm a Caucasian man. She's an African American woman. I think she's very highly educated. So I'm not saying. I mean, she clearly knew what she was saying. I don't know, Missile. It really bothers me when I hear that.
Yeah, it's probably not something she should have said. I mean, you can definitely point out the problems with the NCAA without mentioning that, without saying it's like slavery.
People were chained. People were beaten. Okay? I mean, again, we're talking about awful things that happened. I get it. These kids probably aren't being compensated well enough. The structure isn't perfect. Though I think it's interesting. She hates the system. You got coaches that are making up to $7 million a year. She's not saying blame the coaches. I mean, we're not gonna be upset with them. Though they're the highest person on the totem pole when it comes to compensation. And I get it. They're just getting how the system's set up. So I'm not blaming them either. But again, to go from that to slavery, I don't know. Again, I saw this yesterday and I thought, man, I hate it when I hear comments like that because it's so far from the truth. Things don't have to be right. The NCAA, it is a flawed system, but slavery, it is not anywhere close. And people should not, in my opinion, people should not ever try to compare the two because they're not comparable. They're not comparable. They're just not, plain and simple. So, again, I'm sure her heart's in the right place. And again, she was very emotional, but I just can't go there. And I can't stand it when I hear people try to compare the two. Again, the NCAA, it's not a perfect system, but slavery, it is not. We got hoops tonight in the NBA. Missile, your Rockets. Your Rockets and Chris Paul. Chris Paul is going to be feeling like Alex Ovechkin was last night. That's how he's going to feel tonight. Your Rockets will win. The Warriors will win.
That's what I got going down. So,
who has the best chance to pull an upset?
Oh, I mean, I'll say New Orleans does. They haven't won on the road yet, and they're healthy.
Yeah.
You know, other than Boogie, who's been out for a while, but they don't have, you know, they don't have their top 2 point guards down.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be I think I'm kind of with you. I don't think either are going to win. I think double-digit wins tonight by the home teams, and we finally get what we've all been waiting for, Houston Golden State. And your pseudo NBA championship, but it'll only be for the Western Conference. That goes down tonight. We will be back tomorrow to discuss. Mark, I believe, will rejoin me tomorrow, so we will be at full capacity. We're also going to talk a little more NFL draft tomorrow. I've got Matt Miller, excellent NFL draft analyst. He's going to join us tomorrow in the 1 o'clock hour, get his thoughts on what his big takeaways from this year's draft were. We'll do that. Also, Roy Shung will join us as well. Really enjoy being out here at Chapel Supply and Equipment today, 6509 West Reno. You can give them a call, 495-1722. It's summertime, and get ready with Chapel Supply's pressure washers, air compressors, and generators. They've got great deals on those. They service all their products after they sell them. And by the way, Chapel Supply is hiring for multiple positions. Just go to chapelsupply.com to find out more. Missile, excellent job today in the studio pushing the buttons and playing the audio. Thank you, sir.
Hey, no problem, man. See you tomorrow.
All right, and do not change the dial. The Ultimate takes over from here. Keep it locked in to the leader in sports, 98.1 WWLS, the sports animal.